Go to my homepage, martinzunder.com, and at the top of that page, you will see the official email for the Birmingham conference coming up on May 26th, 27th, and 28th. The 26th is an informal gathering at Laura Johnston's house. You don't have to go. I'm going to be there. It's a little private meet and greet. It'll be fun. Going to be some snacks. Going to be some yayin. Yayin. That's the Hebrew word for wine, yayin. And I'm going to give you the Hebrew word for strong drink. For like liquor, that'd be shakar, shakar. Two different words for two different purposes. Gonna get into that. The official conference starts Saturday, the 27th of May at 9 a.m. And you go to that, click on that link at the top of martinzunder.com, and you have the address of the conference in downtown Birmingham. I think it's a good location. It's a great location. The city of Birmingham itself is a great location. It's kind of a crossroads for the southeast. I like Birmingham. Great conference. We've been there before. You see those photos of Alan Hess and me and Waylon Dabbs. The photos of us on the link to the conference. Those were all taken at Birmingham at the conference 2 years ago. Waylon is going to talk on the love of God. Here's what Waylon has to say about that. Waylon sent me an email. The God that is love. This is the name of Waylon's theme for his three talks. Waylon is going to address you three times. Let me introduce you to the God that is love. That's what you're going to learn about. Part one, we'll explore what love actually is. This is what we all need. We need a definition of love according to divine context, and Waylon will explore how religion has changed what love really means. I'm going to like to hear about that. He's going to discuss why a person's love has the same limits as the God they serve. Yes, why would anybody have to be more loving than the God that a person serves? That is a great point. Waylon's going to get into that in part three. He's going to introduce us to the God that is love. He's going to walk through the scriptures and see God's acts of love and compare the God of scripture to the God of religion. And Waylon's desire for you, and he told me this personally. I was at his house on Sunday. We were talking about the conference. It's for us to know that God truly loves us and all humanity. This is information we all need. It's one thing to read it, folks. It's one thing to talk about it over the phone, but to be in person and to share this with each other, this is important. You need to go. You need to go. And Waylon wants you. I want you. I want myself. I'm going to go here listening to Waylon. Every word that escapes from this guy, I'm going to fall in love even more with the God that is love. I will soon be bringing you a report of what Alan Hess is going to talk about. Alan Hess, great qualified man of God, good friend of mine. Alan and his wife, they are just solid. He conducts business at the Potter's House Fellowship, and he's going to be speaking with us. I'll be giving you that information shortly. As you know, I am going to do performance art. I am going to be the Apostle Paul, and I am going to riff on Paul's letters. I thought I was going to be able to do the entire book of Romans in 35 minutes. That's impossible. I'm going to do Romans chapters 1 through 3 as Paul. Going to talk to you about the evangel, about bringing it to the saints, about the trials associated with it. Going to talk to you about Abraham, all the things that concerned Paul. I'm going to give to you as Paul, you see. It's going to be performance art. Will it be fueled by a little bit of Jameson whiskey? Yes, it will be. And other surprises in store for you. Other surprises in store for you. If you're not at this conference, you're going to miss something. That's all I'll say about it. Yes, that's the Birmingham conference. Let me know if I forgot anything about that. Based on the information I gave you in the last 2 days, you may think I'm an alarmist telling you that God is about to be visiting upon this earth tribulation that has never been since the earth was. No, I'm not an alarmist. It's going to happen. It's prophesied. It's predicted in Scripture. This is the time. It's on the cusp. People you know are in trouble if they remain in the Christian institution. Therefore, based on that information, I contacted Charles Rutsch, who was a great, he printed a lot of my books, The First Idiot in Heaven. This is the book to get to people, to introduce them to the gospel of Paul. The First Idiot in Heaven, it's, by conservative estimates, the best book ever written on the Apostle Paul in modern times or ancient times, since the letters of Paul. This is the best, most concise, most factually inclusive. I wrote the book I couldn't find. I couldn't find a book that had everything about Paul's evangel, the beginning of it, the essence of it, comparing it to the two evangels. I couldn't find all that in one place, and I couldn't find the outcome of Paul's gospel, the salvation of all, in the same book that talks about Paul. So I was frustrated. I couldn't find this. And so I wrote the book that I couldn't find, and this is it. And it's accessible. By that I mean it's readable. I wrote a book that's readable to the common person because I'm the common person. I probably write on an eighth grade level. If somebody tells me, my friend can't read books about God because they're too hard, I write it on an eighth grade level. You can read this book. Now, Charles Rutsch has told me that when I put out the call last week, he got rid of like 40 crates of books, 40 boxes of books with 32 books in each one. That's 40 times the 1,200 books are now in your hands, being distributed, put in waiting rooms at doctor's office, dentist's office, dropped off in on park benches, given to your friends, given to your relatives, wrapped up, give to them as a Christmas present, birthday present, anniversary present, whatever. Earth Day present, Valentine's Day present. I don't put it in an Easter basket, whatever you did, I don't know. Great, they're out there. Now, I wrote Charles Rutsch. He tells me there are 40 crates left. Listen, if we leave this earth with even one of these books still in a box, we have screwed up royally, and somebody will answer for it. It's not going to be me. It would be me if I did not bring this to your attention. You need to write Charles Rutsch and bring the gospel, the ark, the rescue out of this coming indignation, the message of Paul explained so clearly, so plainly, with such simple words that if you can read this book and not get it, then my God, you are locked up in stubbornness for sure. Okay, but this book's it. The cover's cool. The title's cool. I'm cool. Everything about it is cool. And yet forget about that because there's critical information. It's there. The gospel is there. And how many books have an illustration of Hitler in drag? All right? Not many. Charles Rutsch, CharlesRutsch at gmail.com. He is only charging $1 per book. This is ridiculous savings of $19 because I think the book's 20 bucks. So you're putting out a little bit of money, which is good. You need to, because you need to suffer a little bit. You need to put yourself out for this truth so that you can ding, 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 score points at the dais of Christ. And who is this coming up at the dais of Christ? Oh, this is the person who gave out Martin Zenner's book, The First Idiot in Heaven, to the last member of the body of Christ. Yes, the last idiot in heaven. There's a first idiot in heaven. That was Paul. There's a last idiot in heaven. That will be the person to whom you give my book. I wrote the book. I did my part. It's still not enough because I'm here pushing it. Charles Rutsch, Rutsch at gmail.com. He's a nice man. Don't be afraid of him. I love him. He's a friend of the truth. He's a friend of the body of Christ. He's a friend of God, a friend of Christ. You might have to pay for the shipping. I don't know how he works that. You might have to pay for the shipping. Good, because you'll suffer more for this. You have to suffer a little bit for the sake of the evangel, because that counts, right? So you're out some money. You could have used that money for something else. Use it for this. Get a carton of books, 32 books, and get rid of them. This is bigger than Girl Scout cookies. This is bigger than the frickin' bake sale or paper drive. This is huge. This information, God commissioned me to write this book, and this book exists. And it's a nice, compact, beautiful little book. I have one under my desk. I can't get it right now. Yeah, well, okay. It's under there somewhere. Does this count? Patti Smith, M-Train by Patti Smith. This is not my book, M-Train by Patti Smith. It's not a good book. It's too artsy. People think that they care. People think just because they're famous, like in another craft, for instance, music, Patti Smith, just because they're famous, they can write a book and we're going to care. We don't, but we care about the evangel. Get this book out. Now, whiskey, listen about this. I got some information. There's a word in the Hebrew for wine, and it's yayin, Y-A-Y-I-N. And there's a word for strong drink, which is shekar, S-H-E-K-A-R. How much time? Okay, fantastic. Listen to this. Listen to these passages. Sorry if I'm getting loud here. I'm kind of blasting out the thing here. Listen to this, will you? I like this. Proverbs 31, 6 through 7. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Instructing. Give strong drink. That is shekar. That's the Hebrew word there. Give shekar unto him that is ready to perish, and yayin unto those that be of heavy hearts. If you have a heavy heart, the wine makes the heart of man glad. That's what David says in the Psalms. So that's the, yeah. Look at that. It's a 1-2 punch. You got Solomon saying, give wine unto those that have heavy hearts, and David saying that wine makes the heart of man and woman glad. But if you're ready to perish, that's when you need that's when you need whiskey. I feel like I'm ready to perish every day, and this is the fact. I feel like I'm ready to perish. I pray for God to take me out of this life. He doesn't do it. I can't do it of my own hand. As you know, I've talked about this. I'm pretty much tired of living. People say life is too short. What the F? What planet do you live on? Jesus. Life is what? No, it's too long. And so, yeah, I amuse myself too much to undo my own life strings, but I pray for God to do it, and he doesn't seem to have a sense of urgency about it. Listen, if you ever find out someday that I've been hit by a bus or I was on a plane that crashed, don't mourn me. Get my work out there. Get my books out there. Take people to my website. This is how it'll happen with me. This is how it will happen with me. Our plane will be in dire straits. We'll be vibrating. An engine will fall off or something. And I will call the, can't call him a stewardess. I will call the flight attendant over and I will say, flight attendant, are we going to crash? And the flight attendant will say, yes, we're going to crash. And I said, you know what? You're absolutely certain that this plane is not going to land safely. No, the engine fell off and the left wing is gone. You're absolutely sure? Yes. In that case, could I get a large orange juice? Honestly, this is what will happen. Because I love orange juice, but it's just too much sugar and carbs in one wallop. It's like you get like the equivalent of 15 oranges in one 8-ounce glass of orange juice. It's just an overkill of sugar and carbs. And I don't often do it, but I love it. And so in this situation, I would see about getting orange juice. And maybe in this circumstance, they would give me all the orange juice on the plane. And I would drink orange juice on my way down to my certain death. That's how I feel about it. So just so you know, yeah, you can feel bad, but don't feel too bad. Now listen to this. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. This is an instruction toward people who are heading toward one of the feasts in Israel, but they don't quite make it. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God. Where am I? Deuteronomy 14, starting with verse 23. Thou shalt eat beef. This is about shekar. This is about whiskey. I bring this up because I am going to provide whiskey, Jameson, Irish whiskey, at the conference to those of you who are tired of living. To those of you who, no, not who are tired of living. Let me get the exact words here. Let me get the exact words. Not tired of living, but ready to perish. Yes, we're all ready to perish. we're all ready to perish in one way or another. I mean, barring the snatching away, which I expect to happen in 5 minutes or probably by the end of the year, apart from that, life is full of dangers, fraught with trials, traumas, traps, even. And these are ready to just descend upon us. I don't have time right now to give you the Deuteronomy 14 verse. I'm going to do that tomorrow. You're going to be entertained by it. God is actually telling people to use Shechar, and Yayin, because he gave us these gifts, because we're all ready to perish. You go to the store and you get perishables. What's a perishable? It's a perishable is a food stuff that's going to go bad soon, like eggs, cheese, things like that. Guess what? You're a perishable. I'm a perishable. We're so perishable. We're so fragile. And this earth is full of so many things that are just ready to crush us. Okay, along that line, I'm going to instruct my sister to put a link underneath here. I need you to go to watch the greatest movie ever made, according to, that's not my opinion, it's according to my friend Dean Wilkinson. He said that Fake Jesus, the movie I made with Cindy McCoy and Nathan Pilkington, he said it's the greatest movie ever. All right. The reason I'm mentioning this is because one of my favorite lines in that movie, which I wrote, haha, what do you know, is when Cindy McCoy, the character she's playing, goes into a church to try to find some kind of solace from the death of her father. She finds nothing in church. Who's in church? The fake Jesus. She gets no comfort there. So she goes to a bar. I'm just going to lose it. Who cares? Who does she find in the bar? She finds the real Jesus in a bar, disguised as a humble, everyday person, played by yours truly. Anyway, Cindy comes into the bar, and the bartender says, "What are you having?" And she says, "Jameson, straight." I love that, Jameson, straight. So we're going to have that same whiskey at the Birmingham Conference, free for you. I'm going to have little shot glasses or cups, whatever, and you're going to be able to partake of that. Watch the movie Fake Jesus. There's a link there. Best movie ever made, according to Dean Wilkinson. I wouldn't go that far. What do I think is the best movie ever made? Well, Dorothy. Judy, I think The Wizard of Oz is the best movie ever made. Second best movie ever made is Fake Jesus. And go to The Making of Fake Jesus. I will instruct my sister, Kelly, at Stark and Hartman headquarters in Canton, Ohio, to put the link to The Making of Fake Jesus. It's a fun little film that talks about how we made this movie. Watch the movie first. Jameson straight. Then I say, nothing to water that down with? What a line that is.